Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Hey, everybody. It is Kai Rizdahl. I'm the host of a public radio program called Marketplace, Business, Economics, all that jazz.
Yes, and I'm Molly Wood, and I sometimes also do that stuff. But this is not that. This is Make Me Smart.
It is a podcast where we try to get a little bit smarter every week, along with your help, about business and culture and technology.
And, of course, the best part is that we get to go on this journey with each of you, the Make Me Smart community. You have been so amazing at telling us the things you really want to learn more about, sharing the things you already know. See previous episodes with amazing stats, guys. Because, as we like to say, it's a team effort. Because none of us is as smart as all of us.
Also, by the way, that 16-year-old in like Alabama or something, or Mississippi, who wrote us an actual letter. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? I am moving to L.A. I have had it. I miss all the good stuff. You guys, they have a Slack channel literally in L.A. about coffee.
We do.
And it's like, the coffee is brewing. Now the coffee is great. The coffee is so hot and fresh. And I just sit here in the Bay Area and I cry.
For the record, nobody says the coffee is great because it's office coffee. But yeah, no. So this 16-year-old wrote us a letter and said, I really enjoy what you do. Sorry that I wrote a letter on slanted paper that the writing got all crooked, but I thought it would be better than an email. That's what she said.
That is amazing.
It was great. And we will put a facsimile minus the disqualifying personal information on our website so you can see it. Anyway, so today, which we are, I should say right now, recording before the president's big speech. Let's get that out there. This is being recorded before the president's speech. We're going to talk about it, but obviously some stuff will be perhaps not entirely in date by the time you hear it. The co-founder and CEO of Reddit, Steve Huffman, on the broadcast today. It's social media, it's a zillion users, and it's very of the moment in this Trumpian economy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's of the moment in the ongoing conversation that, in particular, Kai and I have been having about Twitter and that the entire internet has been having about manners and misinformation and free speech and harassment and all of that. So we had a good and very civil conversation with him, but he also gave us possibly my new favorite and certainly the most Reddit answer ever to the Make Me Smart question.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's all I'm saying about that. It's amazing.
All right. First, though, as always, the fix. It is not a State of the Union. Let's say that right up front. This speech that the president's going to give tonight, we're recording this on Tuesday morning. He's giving it tonight. It's not a State of the Union. It is technically a speech to a joint session of Congress in which the president of the United States will lay out his budget plans.
Yeah, we don't know yet. I saw there was an interview with Fox and Friends, an exclusive interview Tuesday with Fox, no surprise. And there was a mini preview of the speech. He said it will focus on the central planks of his campaign. I'm reading from their transcript of it. The military, the border, jobs, and health care. It is unclear how many budget specifics there are going to be. And, you know, we actually have a whole exciting plan to do a second episode this week in which we talk about what he actually said. But there has been a lot of news in advance that I think will hold about what the budget may include. And once again, in my philosophy for a lot of this is use the 80s as our guide. Mm-hmm. Not all of it, not the not normal parts, but the normal parts are use the 80s as our guide. And it sounds like there will be a huge increase in defense spending and then equal or opposite cuts across the rest of the board.
Yeah. No, that's totally true. And so here's what he's going to do. He's going to the headline number is $54 billion. But the point of the matter is this. And the reason we want to talk about it before the speech is just to note that the changes he will make, this $54 billion in extra spending for the Pentagon, which will be matched by reductions in domestic spending in places like the State Department and EPA and domestic services to citizens. Those have long-term implications, right? And if you think about some of the things that happened in the 80s, and certainly the most tangible one is the homeless crisis in this country, right? There has been in this country for 35 years a crisis of homelessness that started under the Reagan years when he got rid of and sharply curtailed mental health spending in this country. So the things that the president is going to say tonight are going to sound, I guess the point is this, right? He will make a zero-sum game out of it. He will say, we're going to take money from here and go over there. We're going to take money from here and put it there. But these decisions last for decades.
Well, and on top of that, they are not as simple as all of that. And full disclosure, look, my mom has spent her entire professional life working with runaway and homeless youth.
Wow.
And most of that was under the Reagan administration, early in her career, not most of it, but a lot of it. And I very clearly remember those days because I did some of it in high school. I did HIV/AIDS education for my peers and for kids on Native American reservations during a time when that entire, you know, that, because you could argue that the other thing that came out of that was the AIDS crisis spreading.
Because of inaction out of the White House, right? Yeah.
Because of inaction out of the White House and a lack of funding for all of those programs.
Right.
And so, you know, I have literally seen my mother try to fight for federal money to help homeless and runaway youth. And so a return to that is a real possibility. And those are real questions for the sort of society to be asking. But the other thing is that this conversation about how money will come from here and it will go here, and that, you know, there were stories about a week ago about the way he wants to sort of do some of the accounting, which is essentially to set a growth target. Like, this all makes sense in the context of a P&L, a profit and loss spreadsheet, and a business operation, that you would set a growth target for your business, and then you would back budget accordingly, right? And you would take some money from this thing, and you would take some money from – this is one of those cases where government cannot operate like a business. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And the human costs are much more extreme than a dozen layoffs or a couple hundred layoffs or no layoffs but a defunding of a certain project. You know, it's a much bigger deal. And so I would – so I think we would urge everybody to listen with an ear toward, I don't know, mentally complicating the likely oversimplifications. I don't know.
That's exactly right. We want you to oh my God, that's the takeaway. We want you to complicate what you hear tonight because it will be overly simplified. That's literally the takeaway.
Yep. And tomorrow we will recomplicate it for you all over again.
Our work here is done.
And we look forward to that.
That's it. Let's keep the conversation. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say. As you listen, right? Tweet at us.
Please, because I'm going to be on it. I'm bailing on the carpool tonight. I'm taking the late choir carpool just so I can be online for this speech. At Kai Rizdahl is me. It's true. At Kai Rizdahl is me. At Molly Wood is Molly. And let's just go back and forth on this one because it's going to be so interesting. All right. So look, one of the things that Molly and I talk about on Marketplace and on this program is what's happening online. And how the balance is being struck between the necessity in this country of freedom of speech and the reality of abusive behavior. And there are companies now in this economy. Twitter's one of them. We talk about it a lot. Reddit, though, is another one where every single day they have to figure out what's okay and what's not.
If you're not familiar with Reddit, or you've only heard it mentioned in passing in terms of either harassment or wrong information spreading all around the internet, it's essentially the evolved version of internet forums. It's a sort of social media platform where it's got, you know, 200 million users, I think, and it's people who basically gather to talk about specific topics and subtopics and sub-sub-sub-topics and argue with each other. And they do it all anonymously, or mostly anonymously, and that's occasionally, you know, led to some problems.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a really good analogy, actually, the whole internet forum thing. Huffman co-founded the platform in 2005 with his buddy from college, Alexis Ohanian, and there was an acquisition by Condé Nast in 2006, which I'm sure they now regret because money. But basically, that's still what it is. It's still this place where you can say stuff online.
Yeah, and some of that stuff, as I mentioned, have gotten out of hand. And the other thing I should note going into this is you're going to hear me reference an incident in which Huffman himself waded into the toxic Reddit conversation. It was on a section about Donald Trump that has been infamous for lots of abuse, and the details would take me longer to explain than you want to spend. But basically, he trolled his own users, and he did it as CEO. And you can imagine that it did not go well.
So we're going to start with me asking him about where we are in this society, in this economy, and this political environment today vis-a-vis Silicon Valley and everything that's going on. Here he is. Do me a favor and take a step back and look at where we are in 2017 with the tech world and Silicon Valley and its role in this economy with the new administration and how y'all are going to get along. Because Silicon Valley has been outspoken in the past, what's it been since the inauguration, 28, 30-something days, about the president and some of his policies. How do you see that?
I'd say overall, I think we should be talking about actions. And so when the administration does something that affects us or affects people or conflicts with our values, we should say something. I think all of us as Americans are obligated to stand up for the things that we believe in. And it's always a little tricky when you're trying to balance like your personal beliefs, like my personal beliefs versus that of the company that I lead and that of the communities that Reddit represents. So it's not always so kind of black and white and simple. But I think when there are areas of direct conflicts, we should say something. So, for example, on the immigration fiasco a couple weeks ago, that was an easy one for us, right? My co-founder grew up in an immigrant family. We employ lots of immigrants here. The tech industry in general does. We depend on worldwide talent to be competitive worldwide. And so those are things that are a direct threat to not only our values, but also to our business. And so those are easy ones. But I won't claim that every issue is going to be so easy. And so we have to kind of, I think, pick and choose our battles and think about where do we have a voice and where can our voice be effective. But that was a pretty clear one in my mind.
So we asked our audience, our podcast audience, to send us questions for you and things they wanted to know about Reddit. And this is kind of unusual for our audience. We hardly got any.
Yeah.
Except that we got one guy saying, how come Reddit never gets cited as a source? He said, I live in Australia and people are constantly saying, I saw this on Twitter, I saw this on Facebook, I saw this here, I saw this there. It seems like Reddit itself, like you don't have, even though you do all the same things as Twitter and Facebook and maybe not Facebook, but Twitter and Medium in some ways, the brand isn't as strong. Do you know why that is and does that bug you?
Why? Why? I'm going to maybe stay away from that. But I agree.
No.
I'd be guessing.
We're okay with that.
I think, well, a big part of it is we've just neglected it. We've not put any effort into it. And it's actually kind of a common theme through Reddit over the course of its history. Until very recently, we didn't do a lot of things deliberately. You know, when we started Reddit, Alexis and I had just graduated college. We had applied to Y Combinator, which is now like a very large seed stage funding company, but back then it was their first batch of startups. There's eight of us. And so we limped into YC because they liked us. And so at the time when we were working on Reddit, it was, we're just happy to be here. And so we didn't have a mission, right? We were just going with the flow. Every day we built what was fun for us, what we thought would be fun for the users. And so it was a good thing in the sense that Reddit came from a very pure place of let's just build something that people want. But it was a bad thing in that we didn't know where we were going. And that kind of stayed with us for a long time. And so we didn't do things like think about our brand or really think about growth or all these other like kind of fund or monetization really, or think of ourselves as a business at all.
All that business stuff, right.
Right. Yeah. And so we just neglected that. And so our evolution as a business was delayed as a result. And so now over the last few years where we've really come back, we've all matured, we've hired pretty much an entire new team. You can see kind of the results of that effort now, and we're getting better at those things. But there was a long time where Reddit just was. So,
and is that why a lot of what you call the toxic minority on the site has been allowed to grow and fester and become a thing you now as a CEO have to deal with?
The reason for that's a little bit different. This is, again, a theory of mine, so just put that disclaimer.
You're the guy in charge, man, so your theories count.
Alexis and I left in 2009, and eventually, basically, all of the people who were around at the beginning of Reddit for the first 5 years were gone. And that meant that everybody at Reddit didn't know why Reddit worked or what our motivations were or what our decision-making processes were. And so Reddit gravitated towards a strategy which I don't think was necessarily wrong by any means, but it's basically just let anything go, right? People will do what they will. Reddit is a reflection of humanity. Just let anything go. And a lot of our users, probably the majority, that's what they appreciated about Reddit, right? This, you, what you see is what you get. This is humanity. This is the real deal. And I think there's value in that. The challenge we've come across in the last few years is that it starts to be self-defeating, right? As the user base grows, we want to make sure that Reddit is a welcoming place for everybody. So now we have to be a little bit more proactive about what's on the site, how people are interacting. Because my mission is to bring everybody in the world to Reddit. And we can't do that if some people are scaring others away. And so that's become, it's a finesse problem, really.
It's a pretty big slice of finesse you got to deal with.
Sure, sure. But we want Reddit to be this kind of raw and wonderful open place. But we don't want it to be that at the expense of, you know, users who want to be there.
We should get this out of the way then, because you have matured, you did come back, but you're also sort of, you're in the age range, right? You're in a way reflective of those users. And I think, to me, that's what I saw with the Donald subreddit situation, with you interacting in that way that I found very Reddity, but obviously not CEO-y.
Huh.
I guess it's sort of like, how do you address being the boss and also being a founder who occasionally wants to behave like Redditors behave?
Well, I mean, that's you pretty much summed it up, which is I'm the boss and I occasionally behave the way Redditors behave. I would say, I look back at an incident, I'd say overall it was a mistake, but there's some silver linings to it. And I think as a company, actually learned some important lessons through it. It was a good wake-up call for us on harassment. You know, we got into that because I felt, hey, I can take it. I've been on Reddit a long time. I've been on the internet a long time. I've been on both sides of trolling. I'm a public figure. No big deal. And then I started thinking, I can get back at these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. We had our fun. But also in reflecting after it, we realized that what we were allowing them to do was normalize kind of bullying behavior. And even though it was me and I can take it, it normalizes. It makes it okay to do that to other people. And that's what is not acceptable. And so the good thing that came out of that whole event was kind of a renewed vigor on our team of catching some of these behaviors early on and trying to catch the users who are like normalizing it for others.
So this is something Molly and I have gone, not the bullying thing, but this question I'm going to ask. This is something that Molly and I have gone back and forth about, specifically with Twitter, but sort of in the larger sense now in this social media world. Where is your responsibility in promoting and allowing free speech, but at the same time, not allowing the destructive speech and the hate speech and the abuse?
Sure. The line is not clear. I felt when I came back, what we really need is a crystal clear line of what's allowed and what's not. And so we tried to do that. And that's one of the first things we did, is have a new content policy.
Right.
And we made some good progress with that. But we also learned in that process that we can't legislate every action. We can't think of everything. Wherever we draw the line, users are going to come right up to it and stick their nose over it. And I've now accepted that that is the way things are going to be. And if users are going to push our buttons like that, we need to have a little wiggle room there ourselves. And so it ultimately comes down to, yes, if you violate our content policy, that's a problem. But we also need to use some kind of common sense and think like, what is acceptable behavior or not? And so, yes, we allow content on Reddit that violates my own personal views or even sensibilities, or even that of the average person. And it's not a violation of our content policy. But I do think it is important that people be able to express themselves fully. I think it's important that on Reddit you can trust that you're not getting a sanitized view of humanity, that it's all there and you can accept that. But what I can't accept is when users or communities kind of overstep their area and start to negatively affect others. So where where the line is pretty clear in my mind is on things like harassment and bullying. You can be offensive. I can deal with that. We can deal with that. But if you start antagonizing other users, then we have a problem with that. And it doesn't always fit neatly into our content policy, but that's kind of our guiding principle is Reddit a place where everybody feels comfortable being themselves?
Is it possible to catch it all?
Think of it on a simpler problem like email spam. You can catch 99% of it in your inbox is a better place.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's possible to catch 100%, but we'll start with 90%. And I think we'll be better off.
Do you think you can catch 90% or are you now?
I'm sure of that. And then, you know, once we have 10% left, we'll try to catch 90% of that. I know we can still do a lot more. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of tricks up our sleeve. We have some really talented people here. We've made good progress this year. We've made a dent in it. And that sort of stuff is fulfilling. So we'll just keep chasing after it. I know through my own personal experience, like my Reddit inbox is a perfectly fine place to be now. I haven't been able to say that for the last couple of years.
And then I guess as you look ahead into the future, we seem to be reaching this philosophical line, and this is something that Kai and I argue about with respect to Twitter, and I think comes up with Reddit, which is whether people are willing to tolerate an extreme of negativity and whether that impacts your ability to do business and how you see that playing out where in a conversation about free speech, the use of the words free speech usually means I want to be free to be mean to someone. Like, how does that play out for you as a business, as a CEO and also a human?
So we want people to be able to express themselves, to be their real selves. And so to answer your first question, will people tolerate a stream of negativity? No, I won't either. And that's why we do a lot of work to try to pull that part of the conversation out. But what we want to get out of this kind of free speech and free expression is people really being themselves, expressing themselves in a way that they might not anywhere else online. So an example I use often is when you're going through a divorce, it can be a very alienating experience. And you may be embarrassed to talk to your family or friends about it. And you're certainly not going to, post elsewhere online, hey, I'm having a really tough time with this. But on Reddit, you can. And you can get that support. And I think it's in those moments of kind of vulnerability and empathy that you can only get sometimes in an anonymous environment that you see the real human side of these conversations. And so that's where we try to put our focus, is making sure that those things happen and do happen. And anything that kind of comes in the way of that, we do our best to eliminate.
So this is actually a listener question. And it's a variation of something I always ask, which is like, in 5 years, where's this company? But mm-hmm. But the listener wanted to know, what's your ultimate realization of this company?
So I speak very grandiosely about kind of the power of human expression and be yourself and all these wonderful things that can happen on Reddit. If you go to Reddit right now, it's not obvious what's there. And so we have this kind of bimodal distribution of our users, where on the one hand, we've got these hundreds of millions of users who come every month for all sorts of things. But they may not even know they're on Reddit. On the other hand, we've got our core users, some of whom have our logo tattooed on them, which I don't think happens very often with other companies.
Because that's weird, but whatever.
Hey, but we've affected their lives. We save lives. It's really cool. People feel very thankful for that, and we feel very proud about that. But there's a gap there. And the journey to become a Redditor is a long one, and we need to make that a lot easier. We need to make that instantly apparent what the value that we're providing is. Because I believe that value, that human connection, everybody can appreciate that and needs that. And so connecting those dots, that's our kind of main challenge right now. And in 5 years, I hope we have that licked.
Do you have a favorite subreddit right now?
Wholesome memes. Actually,
Wholesome memes.
Wholesome
like
memes.
I could show that to my kid.
You could show that to your kid. It's one of these like
you can show it to your
it's
kid.
Like the Mr. Rogers of memes.
Sure, I knew your kid.
It's actually
sure.
It's actually trust me, trust me.
Because you need to go to a happy right. place.
Yeah, I'm not even pandering. It's actually just really pleasant to read.
He needs to go to a happy place.
He needs. Well, yeah. Yeah,
that's what we learned there.
I mean, it's
it can be a rough place to be.
You have to hand it to him, being, what is he, 33, 35, having been away from this company mm-hmm. that he founded when he was in his 20s. And now it's a big, ginormous, influential thing. And he's got to corral the thing. And it's got to be a nightmare, honestly.
We have a lot more thoughts on that. And we want to play for you Steve Huffman's answer to our Make mm-hmm. Me Smart question. But first, we got to pay the bills.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
So we asked Steve Huffman one more question, which is our favorite question to ask people.
So this is our special podcast question, okay. Which is, and I bet you have a good one. What didn't you used to know that you know now?
Okay. I'm glad we're all sitting down. I, for a very long time, until relatively recently, thought that a pony was a baby horse. But it's actually...
Wait, they're not?
It's actually just a small horse-like animal.
That is okay, my favorite Make Me Smart question
can
answer.
Can we talk about baby carrots, which forever I thought were actually just tiny little carrots?
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it.
Just a small horse, you guys.
I maintain that that's a fine assumption to make because I'm with him on that one.
I'm still dying over here. Like, that was like the most unexpected. You know, here we had this wide-ranging kind of philosophical conversation about free speech and this and that. And like, what kind of internet are we going to have? Like the Mark Zuckerberg vision of the internet, or the Steve Huffman vision of the internet, or the Jack Dorsey vision, or whatever. And we're like, yes, here comes the big answer. It's just a small horse.
Wilbur.
Like, if I'm going to get a tattoo, I'm just saying, it's going to say, it's not going to be the Reddit logo. It's going to say, it's just a small horse.
Yeah, in the marketplace.
Actually, that's going to go on my eventual... have I told you my idea for a t-shirt company?
No, what?
Slight tangent.
Just a slight one.
Eventually, I want to start a t-shirt company, and I want it to be called Absurdities. Get it?
You can't possibly be the first person who's ever thought of that.
Absurdities.
It's not possible.
The last time I looked into it...
All right, wait, you've actually looked into it?
Yeah. Oh, Absurdities. Man. That would be an awesome freaking absurd t-shirt. It would just say, it's just a small horse. That's all it would say on the t-shirt. That's an absurdity.
I'm going to look it up on the patent trademark office site. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, we did. I was hoping that he would play with us a little more on that question, the particularly question of like the Zuckerberg vision of the future. But yeah, like you said, the dude is in, that's a tough spot. And I think it's a tough spot that's of a piece of a conversation that we've been having. Like I interviewed Ev Williams from Medium, formerly of Twitter, formerly of Blogger. Before that, you've got this sort of ongoing Twitter problem, which is that it's really important in the world, but it doesn't make any damn money.
Yep.
You've got the question of whether Reddit can succeed with all of this negativity. And then you have Facebook printing money. So the question is like, what does the internet look like going forward? And can you actually make money just being a place for people to gather and talk?
Can you imagine being like Jack Dorsey at Twitter or Steve Huffman at Reddit and looking at Zuckerberg and going, how are you doing that?
Well, and then realizing that the way that you're doing it is just through massive manipulation of your users.
Yeah, which is a whole nother podcast.
And not letting them say, you know, and not letting them say any very many things that they want to say. It's the heavily managed version that people have on some level shown that they prefer, and it's got to keep them up at night. I agree.
Yep. Your questions, by the way, what happened actually was this. A lot of them came in after we did the interview. So if you didn't hear yours, that doesn't mean we didn't read it. It just means that our email, I guess, is slow. But we've got a place on our website that you can read other folks' questions and all kinds of stuff. It's marketplace.org/makemesmart. Or email us if you like makemesmart at marketplace.org.
Yes, and thank you for all the emails that have come in so far. This would be a good place for me to clarify, by the way, that when we have read those emails, When I have read them in my own voice, it has led to some confusion that I'd like to clear up now.
Yes.
For example, I'm not from Alaska. We got an email from someone saying, oh, my God, you're from Alaska. I heard you say that. That's so awesome. Nope. That was a listener who wrote in with how to avoid a bear advice, which is also very good and would make a great absurdity. Just a T-shirt that says how to avoid a bear but doesn't give any advice. I'm the only one who likes my T-shirt ideas. Yeah. So that's fair. But anyway, keep them coming, and we will do a better job of delineating which ones are the users and which ones are me talking in our next episode.
Yes.
But now, we gotta go. Make Me Smart is produced by Jenny Josephson, Bridget Bodner, and senior producer Nancy Fergali. This week's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez, and our theme music, we've had questions about this too, so listen carefully. It is composed by our own engineering staff, Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez.
They actually left their guitars in the studio. I'll just tell you that. The executive producer of Marketplace is Tar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And we are done.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.